The Hidden Dead, written and read by Tracy Whitwell. Prologue. Chosen. I hear it, crystal clear from within the fog, only a few feet away. That unmistakable timbre. My heart leaps, and Thor's expression changes to fearful wonder. Thans, did you? I touch his arm. Shh. We both sit in silence and wait. Surrounded by impenetrable mist in the crisp cold air, it becomes apparent that all birdsong has stopped. Everything has stopped. Perfect, unbroken stillness. Then the voice once more. Come. I stand in answer, and so does Thor. Are you hearing him in Icelandic or English, Thor? He whispers back, Icelandic, you? English? Walk. I take Thor's hand and lead him to the rowan tree. The plate has gone, so has the pendant. I put my fingers to my lips and we stand in reverent silence together until he speaks again. With thanks, Chosen and Thor, it is time. Follow. My heart leaps in my chest like a startled rabbit. Thor tightens his grip. Despite the fog, we can see a shadow ahead, both of us. We shouldn't be able to see it, but we do. It radiates light, but dark light, if that's possible. It moves away from us, and a shadowy arm indicates a direction. Follow. Hand in hand, we do as we're told, and follow the shadow into the deepest fog. Chapter 1. Almost a week earlier. Zoo. When Sheila and I arrive at the mansion flat in Hampstead, it's already dark outside, even though it's barely 5 p.m. The flat itself is flipping beautiful. Sheila lives in a fair-sized studio room in Crouch End that's decorated like the inside of a particularly flamboyant gypsy caravan, a style she carries on into her own attire. I have my bigger, but still modest, rented flat up towards Alexandra Palace, with a tiny back garden and a looming end-of-contract headache. But this is the Sistine Chapel of apartments. If the Sistine Chapel had lush cream carpets deeper than Southwold Park Lake. Bo, who owns the place, is Chinese, and I'd say around 40 years old, though I can't properly tell, as it looks like more than a smattering of Botox going on there. He has close-cropped, glossy hair and wears a cashmere roll-neck sweater and very expensive trousers. He smells like heaven in a spicy tobacco and Tuscan leather way and has a perfectly clipped English accent. He gets us both to take off our shoes and leads us through the vaulted hallway into the posh-as-hell living room with its cream walls and crimson cushions. Nearby, three separate flames are dancing in a gorgeous wooden musk-scented candle that looks to be the size of a window cleaner's bucket and almost definitely cost as much as last week's rent. My rent, I mean. I can't imagine Bo ever having to pay rent. He's a famous interior designer and has worked for people so rich they've never even seen a Vauxhall Corsa. He doesn't rent things, he buys them. Sheila, my favourite 50-something psychic medium, is looking around the place in absolute awe. Bo motions us towards a massive sofa that looks too new to sit on, and we both park ourselves. He nods and settles into a cream leather reading chair. Sheila smiles at him and kicks off the conversation. I always let her start, because she's much more experienced in ghostbusting than I am.
So, what can we do for you, Bo? You said on the phone that some strange things have been happening.
Bo looks nervous. I've seen him on TV, and he doesn't usually look anything but warm and unruffled. He clears his throat. First of all, I just have to reiterate, this has to stay a private matter. Is that okay? I don't want any of my, fans thinking I've gone mad.
Of course, darling. We're not blabbermouth, are we, Tans?
I smile reassuringly.
No, of course, we're very discreet.
I have to work hard not to blink as I say this. Drunk me is the least discreet person on planet Earth, but I resolve there and then that I'll take this one to my grave. So, like I said, things have...